Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 14 through 18. And please allow me to prepare the screen. And we will get right into our study. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Do Not Twist the Scriptures. Do not twist the Scriptures. My friends, as I have been teaching through this Bible study, 2 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, one of the things and one of the key themes that Peter addresses to us readers, that there were always false teachers creeping in. And so that must have been something of a concern back then, which should be a concern today. Because there are so many denominations, so many doctrines, and we have to be careful of what we listen to, what we hear, what we adhere to, what we're going to allow to bring Jesus glory and honor and praise. And so we all see that in the day and time that we live in, things have changed. And we all know that there are many churches that have gone liberal. And so we need to be true warriors, true believers, true students of the Word of God. And whatever God has written, Jesus even said, my word is above my name. And so we must declare, proclaim, and believe that what is written, it is done. The Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so let's get to our study and let's get to the Scriptures and let's go there now. And so let's start reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And it reads, therefore, beloved, looking forward to the things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as written to you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to verse 14. And it reads, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Wow, spot and blameless. I had a conversation the other day with my daughter and with my granddaughter, and I asked this question, what does that mean, spot and blameless? And we all concluded that it's not us striving to be perfect, because we can never be perfect in this body of flesh. It's the position that God has given us now. We are in right standing. It was the blood of Jesus that eradicated our sin at the cross. And so now God the Father looks down upon us and all he sees is the blood. And so we still struggle in this body of flesh. We still struggle with the sinful mind. But we have a different position now. And our position has been given eternal life by Christ Jesus alone. And so I am so blessed. I am so very blessed to know that there are other doctrines that teach that you have to strive for perfection. And let me just say this. Those who continually are striving to appease God will find themselves in a place called condemnation, because their heart will condemn them when they fail. And so, are we going to fail in this body of flesh? Yes. Are we going to fall short? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But here's the thing. It's because we have the Spirit of God and we are a child of God, God now knows the position we have in Him. And so He is our advocate. He's given us a way here on earth and how we can continue to have that relationship with Him. Because the Bible says, if we have sinned, we have an advocate. Who is the advocate? The Lord Jesus Christ. So if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a blessing. And so, saints, because believers can trust God's promise to bring them into a new earth, and because they're waiting for these things to happen, they ought to live a pure and blameless life. And once again, God looks at us as pure and blameless. He doesn't see our failures and our fault. He doesn't see the sin no more. When God looks down, He sees the blood. How many are so blessed to know that at home? Aren't you so blessed to know that we're no longer under condemnation? Aren't you so blessed that you find yourself now a child of God? That we have the freedom now to worship and praise Him? Where at one time, in our unbelief, when we were lost without a cause, when before Christ came and quickened us and made us come alive, we were dead in our sins and transgressions. And God had to make us come alive. And when we came alive, then God illuminated us. Then God purified our heart. He allowed us to see Him, who He is. He allowed us to embrace the cross and not run from the cross. How many are so blessed to know that? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. And He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Now, look what I found here as a reference to this study. I found it right here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 through 18. This is what Paul wrote to the Philippian church and many other epistles on how you and I, who are called out of darkness now into His marvelous light, how we should operate on this earth the best way we know how. Will it be perfect? No. Will we make mistakes? Yes. But here is our ammunition. Here is our teaching. Here is what we adhere to now. We don't go by secularism. We go by God's Word. And what He wrote to the Philippians, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, key word, obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Oh, yes. Now, it's not the kind of fear that we're afraid and are hiding from God. That fear means reverential fear, meaning He is God and we are not. And we should be in awe of Him, who He is. He's our King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise God. And look at this. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Also in verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let me just pause right there. We are called to be the lights of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world. But when we are saved, He illuminates us. He fills us with His Spirit. And now we have the light of God living in us. And so this is what allows us. This is what enables us. This is what keeps us moving forward with Him, is that He has illuminated in our being the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And we are called now out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we have an ongoing desire now to worship and praise Him, where at one time we were so lost in the world that we had no desire for God. But now we have a true desire. And so let's continue with this scripture verse right here. In verse 16, look at this. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I'm here to encourage you, saints of God. Your walk with Christ is not in vain. Yes, you and I, we have failed God at one time or another. We have missed the mark. Oh, yes, we said things that we shouldn't have. Listen, we're not perfect. But let me just say this. Your walk with Christ is not in vain. God honors your walk. God knows who we are. Listen, He knew about you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew already all the sins that you would commit. He knew your birth, and He knows that when you will be put in the ground. He saw your whole life played out. This is why you have to have the great assurance of who He is in your life, that He is watching over us. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. See, once you make Him your Lord and Savior, you will have peace that surpasses all understanding. And so your walk is not in vain and is blessed. How many of you can honestly say that at home? Praise God. We are a blessed people. And it's not that what we've ever done is what He has done for us. Amen. So let's go back to that word now. And let's go to verse 17 and 18. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad. Look at this. And rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, to say it another way, only this powerful hope can entice us to live righteously. God's kingdom will be characterized by peace with God. And so therefore, believers, they ought to practice peace with God now and preparation for the kingdom to come. How many are so blessed to know that the kingdom will come one day, and God will have a whole new renovated place for us to operate, and we won't be in these lowly bodies no more that go back to the ground. We'll have a brand new body. We'll have one like His. And that's a promise. That's a promise from God. No more disease, no more crying, no more tears, no more heartache, no more famine, no more relational breakups, no more divorce. All these things that we earthly beings on this earth experience on a day-to-day basis, He's going to eradicate it. And He's going to bring peace beyond comprehension. He's going to present a world, a new world to us, something that you and I right now, we can't even comprehend. But yet, it's a promise from Him. Look what else Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians here. Look at this. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 14, look what he says here. He admonishes us. He encourages us. Look at what he says. He starts off chapter 5 by saying this. Therefore, be imitators of God. What does that mean, be imitators of God? That means do your best to love the things that God loves. Do your best to entreat one another how God entreats us. You know, God is the epitome of love. So we should walk in that grace. We should walk in that love. We should walk after the things of God. And this is why he says, be imitators of God. And that's what we strive to be. Are we going to miss the mark? Yes. But still, have God first in your life. Have Him first in your thought life. Listen, when you're filled with a whole lot of God, there's no room for sin to set in. When you're in prayer, there's no room for sin to set in, because we still live in this sinful body. But there's ways we can combat that by putting God first in our life. Let's continue with this verse. Look at this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in what? Hate? No. He says, walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for what? A sweet smelling aroma. Praise God. Listen, your life should be a sweet smelling aroma unto God. Praise God. When you're loving people, when you're loving each other, when you're entreating one another the way God entreats us, you will be that sweet smelling aroma. Even as you proclaim the gospel and you emphasize, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Even all that is all inclusive. and to walking in the love of God, in the grace of God. Let's finish off this verse right here. Look at this, verse 3. But now, what I love about Paul, he brings in truth to every issue, to every matter. Now, he's talking about us walking in love, but look what he says in verse 3. But fornication, wow, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Did you catch that, my friends? There are some things that God wants us to refrain from. There are some things that God doesn't want our eyes to set on. There are some things that we are not to have conversations about. There are some things that we must not covet. For those of you that don't know what covetous means, that means wanting something you don't have and you want to get it at any expense. That's what covetous means. And so it shouldn't be fitting for us as saints of God now. And what is a saint of God? All it is a child of God that has been set apart to do the Lord's will. That's what it means. Let's go to the next verse. Look at this. Neither filthy. Oh, man. So now he's going to admonish us in this. You see, unfortunately, there are some churches that will leapfrog, but I know some wonderful churches that won't leapfrog, that will speak the truth in love, that will admonish us, that will bring out these scriptures for what? For edification, to build us up, so that truth would be instilled in us, so we can walk in love and walk in truth. But if this is not disclosed to us, we will never know what's expected of the things that God wants for you, what He wants in my life. So look at this. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Look at this. Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. We are to be a thankful people. Praise God. Now look at verse 5 here. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Wow. That's like an indictment. That's a truth that only God can proclaim. See, we can't proclaim this. All we can do is reiterate what has been written already, what's already in the scripture. So if God said this, that no one would partake in the kingdom of God who operate in that matter, you could take it to the bank. Because God is not like a man that could lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to me unless the Father draws. Jesus is the epitome of truth. And when Paul wrote this down, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these down for our learning, for our edification, for us to be built up, so that we would be built up in our most holy faith. So then when we are faced in situations of life, then we'll have the Word of God built up in us, where now we can defend our faith, we can defend our actions, we can implement the truth, and now we can avoid falling into pitfalls, because that's what the enemy wants to do, is try to stumble you. But Paul gives us ammunition here. This is why, be in Bible study, learn the Word, know what God expects of your life, practice, be imitators of Him, like we've been sharing tonight. Now, look at this. In verse 6, let no one, say that with me at home, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Wow. You see, God has a day to pour out His wrath. Praise God, we're in the age of grace right now. We're still in the church age. People are still coming to the saving knowledge. But one day, He's going to pour out His wrath. And guess what? You and I, the saints of God, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Praise God. Look at this in verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. What? So, in essence, if you have people in your life, in the sphere of your influence, who operate in this manner, and I have family members, I know people that I used to hang out with, they operate like this. But now as believers, we're set apart. We have to draw the line out. Are we going to still fellowship with them because they're walking in darkness? Or are we going to fellowship with believers that are walking in the light? And this is why he says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness. Did you catch that? You and I, in our BC years before Christ, we walked just like everyone else that comes into this world. We were walking in darkness. But look at this. But now you are light in the Lord. Praise God. Man, you ought to be excited for your salvation because we are now light walking in this world. So he goes on to say, look, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with what? Look at this, unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. What? Man, I know that's tough. That's tough, but sometimes you have to call out something as you see it that's not right. You know, let me just say this. I could be in a conversation, and I know that they're probably not Christians. And how many of you have been in a conversation, and you hear bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes right out of their mouth? And so God has given me wisdom on that. And when they keep continuing to say that bleepity, bleep, bleepity, bleep, you know, all these bad words, and then Jesus Christ comes out, here's how I respond to that. I ask them this question: are you praising my God or are you cursing my God? And then all of a sudden they didn't realize what they just said, and they'll come back and say, oh, excuse my French. I'm sure you guys been there, done that. And so I chuckle about it. You know, it's not a rebuke to them because they don't know any better. They're unbelievers, you know. But there are times when you have to implement some sort of truth in their life so that God is not blasphemed, especially around your ears. Look at this, what it says here. For it is shameful, verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Listen, we should not become lazy and complacent just because Christ has not yet returned. Instead, saints of God, we should live in eager expectation of his coming. What would you be like doing? What, let me just ask this question. What's your position right now, knowing that Christ is coming? Should we continue to live a godly life that honors God? Or are we going to revert back to the world that dishonors God? Because when he comes, it's all going to be over. And then he's going to set up his new kingdom. And so for you and I, he has given us that opportunity now to love him, to honor him, to adore him, to worship him, to praise him, to proclaim the gospel, to preach, to teach, to exhort, and even to rebuke. You see, saints, this is how we should be living, a life that pleases him. Not in perfection, because we'll never be perfect, but striving to honor him. Look what else I found right here in the Word of God. In Titus 2:11, look at this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So Christ has come now. For 2,000 years, the gospel has been proclaimed. For 2,000 years, look at this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. What does that mean, living soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, in this present age? And we think soberly means not drinking alcohol. No. You know what that means in the Greek? Soberly means not being intoxicated with the culture, because the culture can intoxicate you. And you could be drunk in all of what they believe in, so that it'll be a fine line between a truth and a lie. So we have to be careful. We have to live righteously, godly in this present age. Look at this. Look at verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of at home can't wait for His glorious appearing? I want to see Him face to face. I want to see the God that created me. And you know why? Because when I see Him face to face, I want to just bow at His feet and worship and praise Him and honor Him and thank Him that He saved a wretch like me. I knew where I was. I knew when He saved me at 30. Prior to that, I was headed to hell in a handbasket. And then God interrupted my life. God drew me to the cross. God quickened me, made me come alive. He allowed my eyes to see, my ears to hear. And when I saw the cross, I ran and I embraced it. And God saved me for such a time as this. And now I'm teaching you what He has taught me. And this is all about learning, about growing in the grace, about learning His word, about applying the scripture, about adhering to it. And then once you understand, proclaim it, preach, teach, exhort, raise up people in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Raise up your children, your grandchildren. Implement the things of God in their life and watch them grow. They're going to grow leaps and bounds. Praise God. Look at this. We'll finish off Titus right here. Look at verse 14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. Look at this. Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. I need you to understand that you are special to Him. We are special to Him. We should be, as we finish off this verse, zealous for good works. In other words, you should strive and want to do the things that please God. You want to do the things of God. You want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then He closes off with verse 15. Look at that. Speak these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that is the instruction that God gives us for daily living? We're to apply it. We're to embrace it. We're to honor it. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3. And the Word of God reads, "An account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to who?" To you, to me, to all of us, to the church that love Him, that adore Him. Praise God. You see, saints, as believers waited, perhaps impatiently, for the Lord's return, Peter reminded them that the Lord is waiting so that people have time to be saved. Aren't you so blessed that He's given you and I an opportunity? Just imagine if He would have came before I got saved. I wouldn't have made it in. And so it's only God's grace that He has held off His coming while others can be saved. And only He can go through the highways and byways. Only He, throughout the world, can draw men and women unto Himself, including children. You see, God's patience means salvation for many more who will have the chance to respond to the gospel message. And when reading, saints of God, various letters of the New Testament, it is interesting to study the interrelationships among all the writers. Oh, that's right. Look what I found right here in the book of Ephesians. Look at this. He wrote this, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Who was a prisoner? Paul was. The majority of the epistles were written in prison from Paul the apostle. That's right. Listen, let me just ask this question, and we'll get back to the Word. How was it possible that when he was in chains, in prison, he was not at Donovan's prison? Some of us know people that have gone to Donovan's prison. That's local to us. They have all the amenities there. They got big screen TVs. They got hot and cold running water. They got bath showers and they got toilets. But not in Paul's day. They were chained to one another. And I truly believe it was probably rat and roach infested. They didn't have the number A hanging on the window, honoring the code of the day. These people were enchained to one another. And just imagine, they couldn't just get up and go to the bathroom. Many of the writers, like Josephus and many of the historians, wrote that some of them had to defecate on themselves. They had to urinate on themselves as they were chained to one another. And yet, Paul wrote, as he was in prison, he still wrote the Word of God. And guess what God did? God preserved the Word so that it could come to our day and time. We are reading what Paul the Apostle and many other of the New Testament apostles wrote for you and I. They sacrificed. Many of them were martyred. Many of them died because they died for what? For the cause of Christ. Because they knew that what they wrote down, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, will get to us in 2023. And that we would learn the ways of God, and we would apply the Scriptures, and we would walk in His ways. We would learn what they died for and what Christ meant to them. Can we have that same mindset today? If we were to be overtaken by an enemy country and enslaved and put in chains, can you still praise Him? Can you still worship Him? Can you still give God the glory? That's my question. And when we read about their writings, they had no one to defend them. Some were thrown to the lions. Some were killed immediately. Some were beheaded. Some were crucified upside down. And yet the gospel still continued. Praise God. Let's go back and read this. Look at this. With all lowliness in verse 2. Well, let's go back to verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. We were all called to this. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, we need to bear one another's burdens. Look at this. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to be the peacemakers. We are to be the ones that when there is difficult in relationships, we should be the ones to come and bring peace, to resolve and help the matter. Because we are not to harbor hate. We are not to harbor hurt. We are to be ready to forgive. Why? Because Jesus said at the cross when He hung on there, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so this is why we need to be imitators like God. We need to be, yes, I forgive you, especially when you were slandered, when you were hurt, when they did something to you and it stung deep. You got to learn how to forgive like Jesus forgave us, and how Paul right now is exhorting us, how Peter exhorted us, because that's what will bring glory and honor to God, is how you demonstrate your life now as a believer here on this earth. Look at this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Therefore, look at this verse. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. His later became the undisputed ladder, which church in Jerusalem. And then Paul came and was converted. And then God raised up Paul when he was on his way to Damascus to destroy the believers. Look how God worked. He worked mightily in these men's life. Listen. I like to say it like this. Paul goes on to describe in the epistles that he was a chief sinner. Let me just say this. This is me now. This is Fee 101. I was a general sinner when God found me. That's right. And he saved me radically. And I'm here now proclaiming no differently how God had to knock Saul of Tarsus off his beast, how he had to speak to him, and he had to show him the error of his way, that it was him kicking against the goads. It was him persecuting Christ. Well, I was doing the same thing when I was in my dope life and my drug life and doing all that. I was killing off God's creation. And God had to stop me in my track. He had to radically save me. And when he did that, he showed me his grace. He showed me his love. He showed me a place where I was headed. I was headed to hell. I was headed to a place that was prepared for Satan and the false prophet. And Satan himself and all his dominions. That's what he created hell for. And many people are falling into that place. Why? Because they have rejected the love of God. They have rejected the grace of God. They have rejected the mercy of God. And they have closed off Jesus from their life. I'm so mighty thankful. I'm a thankful person today. I'm always going to be grateful and thankful what he's done in my life. And this is why I continue to hopefully inspire other people that what he did for me, he can do for you. Praise God. Because God's a loving God. He's a graceful God. He's an awesome God. See, Paul was also considered one of the greatest apostles. Peter and Paul had great respect for each other as they worked in the ministries together, which God called them both. Where did he call them? He called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's a blessing. Peter, a stinky fisherman. And he didn't give them a theological teaching. He just approached where they were fishing, and all Jesus said, he looked at Peter and said, "Follow me." That's all he said. They dropped their nets and followed him. And many of us, Jesus came to us and said, "Follow me." And now we're following him. It's only but the grace of God. And by the time Peter's writing Saints of God, Paul's letters already had a widespread reputation. Peter backed up his words with the believers, an apparent knowledge that Paul had also written to them about this very topic. You see, my friends, Peter recognized the value of Paul's letters and the growth of the church, for he described Paul as writing them with wisdom from God, which God had given him. And the teaching, Saints of God, the apostles were never distorted by the person or area of ministry. Whether the letter came from Paul or Peter, the message could be depended on to be the same, for it had come from God himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice that Peter wrote of Paul's letters as if they were on a level with other parts of Scripture. And already, Saints of God, the early church was considering Paul's letters to be inspired by God as well. So both Peter and Paul were aware that they were speaking of God's words along with the Old Testament prophets. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? That they would reference the Old Testament to proclaim truth as they were writing down, inspired by the Holy Spirit, which became the Word of God to us today. And so we're coming in for a close. Let's look at now verse 16 in 2 Peter chapter 3. And the Word of God reads, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction." This is where I got my topic tonight. Do not twist the scriptures. Well, look at this. It says right here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, "which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." And so be careful to know that you know the full contents of the scriptures. And in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, learn the true meaning of it. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Learn the Hebraic root. Learn these things so that you will be fully prepared and have all the ammunition to give someone an opportunity to know the the things that you know by God's grace. How many are so blessed to know the origins? I'd like to ask this question. Can you fully, truly let an unbeliever know why Jesus went to the cross? Why did he come to save us? It's very simple. And if you know, proclaim it. Lift them up. Help them. You see, my friends, sometimes the letters were rewritten as a copy and then passed on. And the believers regarded these writings to be as authoritative as the Old Testament scriptures. Some readers may have been put off by some of Paul's comments that were hard to understand. But the cure is not to listen to those who would twist the truth, but instead to continue to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the better we know Jesus, the less attractive false teaching will be. The false teachers twisted all of Scripture to mean whatever they wanted. However, saints of God, this will result in disaster, true disaster. The saints, the teachings of the apostles were never distorted by the person or area of ministry. No, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And whether the letter came from Paul or Peter, the message could be depended on to be the same, for it had come from God Himself. Aren't you so blessed? It came from God Himself. And in those early days of the church, the letters from the apostles were read to the believers and often passed along to other churches in that region. And guess what? It got to us 2,000 years later. How many are so blessed to know that you have now the whole counsel of God? You have the whole volume of the book. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. So when you read Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. It's all about His love. It's all about how He created us, how He came to die for us, and how He came to save us. And He saved us from a horrible place. And so, saints of God, notice that Peter wrote of Paul's letters if they were on a level with so many other scriptures throughout the New Testament. And already the early church was considering Paul's letters to be inspired by God. Both Peter and Paul were aware that they were speaking God's word along with all the other epistles and the prophets of the Old Testament. Praise God. I found this one scripture I want you to see right here in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see, unbelievers can read the word of God, but if they don't have a relationship with God, it becomes just ink on pages. They don't comprehend it. But for us who are the called out saints of God, who are born again, who have been transformed by the mind of Christ now, that's why Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. We understand, we comprehend, we discern now the holy things of God. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to make mistakes in this walk? Yes. Are we going to fall short? Yes. But praise God, we don't walk no longer in condemnation. We walk in the grace of God, knowing that He gives us that space. He knows we're going to have errors in our life. We're going to miss the mark. But He still loves us. He still loves you. And so in the early days of the church, saints of God, the letters from the apostles were read to all the believers. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that throughout time now, the word of God got to you and to me? And so the believers regarded these writings to be as authoritative, even as the Old Testament scriptures that were given to them. Because they had nothing to go by. All they had was the Old Testament. And so during their lifetime and during the events of their life, they wrote it down to inspire us so that we would know what they went through just to have the word for us. And I'm so blessed. Now, The cure is not to listen to those who would twist. Never be a part of those who would want to twist the word of God, but instead to continue to increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the better we know Jesus, the less attractive the false teaching will be. Why? Because false teachers, they twisted the scripture. And that's why Peter was, throughout the chapters, it was a concern to him, a true concern. And so we got two more verses to break down and we'll be through with our Bible study. And so in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being being led away with the error of the wicked." Wow. So we're admonished. Be careful, be steadfast, know your word. Hang out with people that love God. Hang out with people that want to share, that want to study God's word. Why? Because as you learn God's word, you'll learn to sharpen iron sharpens iron. And you want to grow. You want to inquire of the Lord. You want to ask certain questions about God's word that maybe you don't truly fully discern. And there are men and women who are knowledgeable with the word of God that have been on the road just a little longer. You could come to them and they should be able to help you come along and raise you up. And so Peter, he wanted his readers to be warned ahead of time about the danger of false teachers, explaining the false teachers' tactics and future destruction. You see, my friends, being forewarned, the believers would not be carried away by the errors of the false teachers. They wouldn't. And so I found this right here just to confirm this in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. "But thanks be to God who gives us the what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You see that? "Knowing that your labor is not in vain." Never think for one moment your labor is in vain. And saints, to be carried away means to be led astray into error. The word pictures a person following along behind a crowd. And we are exhorted. Paul wrote to Timothy about this. Look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at this. "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you," say that with me at home, "but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Some of you belong, who log in, who attend other churches. Some of you have wonderful pastors. Some of you who are raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord know these wonderful things of truth. What we are learning and reiterating tonight is to continue to be steadfast, continue to grow. Don't give up. Never throw in the towel. Never think that I blew it with God and now there's no need to walk after Him. No, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to fool you. He wants to deceive you. But Paul is saying, keep going. Keep trusting. Why? Because keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. But you must continue. Look at this in verse 15. "And that from childhood," look what he wrote here to Timothy. "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." You know what I'm so blessed about, saints of God? My daughter raised up my grandchildren, hurt their children, homeschooled them, nurtured them, instilled in them the Word of God. So they've never known any other secular life. I can't say that for my life. I have 11 brothers and sisters. But it's not my parents' fault. It's not my grandparents' fault. It's not their parents' fault. Why? Because no one taught them to pass it down to us. But I praise God that God came in our generation. He destroyed that curse. And He allowed us to enter in now to His grace and to His mercy. And so when one by one, when my grandchildren were brought into this world, my son-in-law and my daughter had a mind made up to serve God and to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And now, what has been instilled has been godly principles. They don't know the secular world. They don't know how that works. And I'm so blessed and so mighty thankful that they never had to go through what I experienced in life. And so there's been a shield and buckler around them. And there are many beautiful families, no differently like them, that they were raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so, finishing off these verses of Scripture, look at this in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for what? For good work. For good work. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that we now have the Word of God to continue to do good work? And so, my friends, the implication is this, that keeping company with false teachers or those who follow them will inevitably cause the believer to also to be led astray and lose his secure footing. Oh, that's right. But praise God. Praise God. We have God's Word. We got His ammunition. We have His Spirit. We've got the favor of the Most High God. And so we look at our last and final verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's verse 18. But grow, say that with me at home, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now forever and ever, amen. Praise God. So I love how Paul concludes his letters. He gives God all the glory and all the praise. He says, continue, continue, continue. That's right. Continue and to know that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God will always be with you. And so Peter concluded this brief letter as he had begun by urging his readers to grow in the grace, to grow and be steadfast, and to have the special favor and the knowledge of the Lord upon your life so that you would honor God. And so, my friends, believers grow in favor as they understand they are living by God's grace alone. And so everything they do is a result of that grace. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just so blessed that I had the privilege and the opportunity to teach 2 Peter. And pray that next week we'll begin a new book. I don't know what book we're going to begin with, but we will start a new book. But I'm talking now to those, right now, those who have logged in. Maybe it's your first or second time. Maybe someone invited you to this Bible study online. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I'm here to let you know. Call upon the name of the Lord and ask God. Cry out to Him. The Bible says repent. Cry out. You see, one of the things, when God quickened me and drew me, He gave me a mind to be saved. He gave me a heart to repent. He opened up my eyes. He gave me ears to hear. And it was the marvelous work of Christ that caused me to come. And this is my cry. This is my desire this evening, that God will be drawing you as you hear this message, that the Word of God that was used today would inspire you, that will make you think on the things of God. And if you're having that desire to surrender to Him, that's Him giving you that desire. That's not me. That's not my voice. It's the Spirit of God calling you. So there's never a coincidence when you hear God's Word. It's the providence of God. God will make all things as a divine appointment to those He's calling to this wonderful grace. And if that's you, I'm going to ask all the Amazing Grace family that's home, logged on, to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to Christ, that you would surrender your life, that God would do the miraculous in your life, that what He's done for many of us, He will do for you. Because there is room at the cross. And right now, He's drawing men around, men and women and children around the whole world. Why? Because He loves us. His desire is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. So if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me, and you would say this simple prayer by faith. Now, I need you to know, the prayer don't save you. Prayer is just a tool that God uses on this earth to communicate with the Holy God in heaven. And so pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, saints of God, give God a shout of praise. Listen, if that was you, log on. You'll see the banner below. Log on to our website. And on our website is our email and phone number. Reach out to us. We would love to put a Bible in your hand. If you have just given your heart, we want to put a Bible in your hand. We'll even mail you out a Bible. But what we want to do is point you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God, and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm so excited that I was privileged to come into your living rooms this evening. And so I'm going to leave our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we say good night. We love you guys. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.